In the summer of 1970, my brother and I took the ferry from Dover to Calais and then hitchhiked down through France and into Italy. I had been raised a very Protestant Anglican, so the dark historic Catholic churches of Italy were mysterious and romantic. The churches we saw were not the cathedrals in the tourist traps of Pisa, Rome, and Florence, but the local churches in the small towns and villages. There were a number of times when I would hear the bell tolling for Mass, and I would slip inside a church, curious to see what would happen. Initially, I was disappointed. In a Catholic country where attendance at Mass was taught as an obligation, I expected the townspeople would flock to church when the bell was tolled. But that was not the case. I would sit there and wait, and only a handful of elderly people would come in, all women, all dressed in black. They were widows. Mostly they would light a votive candle. Perhaps it was a prayer for a deceased child or husband. Then they would go to the center aisle, genuflect before the reserved sacrament, cross themselves, and kneel in a pew, waiting for the priest to appear. My disappointment was a rush to judgment. I was thinking of all those people who could be there but weren't. What a waste, I thought. All these wonderful, dark, mysterious churches where people have prayed for centuries, they deserve to be thronged with worshippers. But the only ones who show up are a very few, very dedicated, in the eyes of the world, very needy, elderly widows with nowhere else to go. But it wasn't long before I started to think differently. I stopped worrying about those who weren't there. Instead, I came to admire those who were. Those ladies were devoted. They were constant in their presence at Mass. They showed no shame about attending church. They knew behind their backs they were scorned for doing that. They knew people would say they had nothing more important to do. But they had a certain defiance about them. And that is what I admired. They would not bend to secularism. They were vulnerable. They were needy, but they made no pretense. In just a couple of weeks, my heart was so warmed by their devotion that they became my heroines. The story of Easter doesn't have a hero. Instead, it has a heroine, Mary Magdalene. And if those ladies that I watched in Italy could have had a patron saint who exemplified their devotion, their defiance, and their heroism, it would have been Mary Magdalene. Forget the long flowing red hair of medieval portraits of Mary. Certainly forget Dan Brown's suggestion that she had an intimate relationship with Jesus. One thing we know about Mary is that she went with Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea to ask Pilate for the body of Jesus. She went with them because socially she was their equal. She was wealthy like those two men. She was in her 60s like them. When the events of Easter unfolded, she would have been gray-haired, just like my Italian women. Lose the idea, too, that she was a reformed prostitute. Mary Magdalene had no need to be a prostitute. That idea comes from confusing her with the woman who at a feast washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. But despite her wealth and her social standing, life for Mary had not been easy. And that did not change until she crossed paths with Jesus. Luke tells us that Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. That would mean she had a mental illness, or maybe epilepsy. 7 is always the number of totality, indicating that she had been totally trapped by her illness, but then completely healed from her illness. Her encounter with Jesus meant a complete transformation of her life, and that was why she was so devoted to him. Good Friday and Easter show just how devoted she was. On Good Friday, most of the disciples had fled. But Mary courageously stood at the foot of the cross. The crowd had called for Jesus' crucifixion. It was dangerous to be associated with Jesus. Peter denied him 3 times. Mary stood by him. Just imagine her inner struggle as she stood by the cross. She loved this man. He'd lifted her out of despair. How did she steel herself to watch him humiliated and tortured? Most of us would have turned our eyes away rather than watch the agony. Only a true heroine stands there. As the day of the crucifixion ended and Jesus was dead, Mary Magdalene demeaned herself by begging. Begging is not easy for any of us, but it must have been particularly hard for a woman who would not have been accustomed to have to ask for anything. She, with Joseph and Nicodemus, begged Pilate for Jesus' body. She steeled herself to beg because she knew that the fishermen and the ordinary people who flocked to Jesus would never have gained access to Pilate. Once she had the body, she had the grit to fight through her tears and do what had to be done. She washed the lifeless body of Jesus with its wounds and its bruises and its dried blood. There was no one else to do that for Jesus, and she owned the task. Then, helped by female friends, she rushed to lay the body in its tomb. But then she had to wait. And the delay must have been excruciating. But any kind of work on the Sabbath was forbidden, including the work of dressing a body. As soon as she could, in the darkness before dawn on the first day of the week, she ran out to the tomb where she had laid Jesus, only to find that he was not there. She was desperate when she raced back to find Peter and John and brought them to the empty tomb. The suggestion that John might have understood what was happening, but basically all the men did was note the linen wrappings and the absence of a body and leave. They left Mary alone to weep, certain that the body had been stolen. In her lonely moment of frantic despair, Mary would not leave the tomb. Behind her, she heard a voice saying, "Why are you weeping?" She assumed it was a gardener, and on the slimmest of chances that he had moved the body, she said, "Where have you laid him?" And Jesus revealed himself to her by simply saying her name, Mary. At that moment, Mary Magdalene became the first human being to know the joy of Easter. And what a rush of joy it must have been. Jesus then gave Mary the responsibility of telling the rest of the disciples that he was not dead, but had risen. For that reason, the church honors Mary Magdalene with the title Apostle to the Apostles, the one who is sent to the ones whom Jesus sends. Mary is certainly the heroine of Easter. She is fearless. She is devoted. She does not shrink from a gruesome, heart-rending task. She's present when others are absent. She fights through her tears. She does what has to be done, and then is given the honor to be the messenger of the resurrection. What the widows that I saw in the local parish churches in Italy and Mary Magdalene have in common is not simply their devotion. It is the level of devotion that in the eyes of the world looks foolish. It is rarely seen, that level of devotion. So, to the world, it makes no sense. It took a while for them to notice what was happening. Presumably because it would be foolish to expect to see it in a thoroughly modern, extremely secular, multicultural city. But gradually, the news commentators this last week noticed the hundreds of Parisian Catholics, many of them young people, kneeling together on the streets around the burning cathedral of Our Lady, singing hymns and praying into the wee hours of the next morning. In the eyes of the secular world, folly. But the sight of them stirred my heart. There was one early photo of an unnamed young woman kneeling in prayer on the road that particularly caught my eye. She was heroically defiant of secularism, powerfully witnessing to her faith, and her picture will have been seen all around the world. The sight of people praying the rosary and singing hymns to the Mother of God, even as the most famous building in the world dedicated to her was an inferno, reminded me of St. Paul's explanation of why the world outside these doors finds our Easter faith so incomprehensible. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Won't you join me this Easter morning? Won't you join the widows in Italy? Won't you join Mary Magdalene and join those who prayed on the streets of Paris? And defiant of the wisdom of the world, proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen.